If you have your Bible, I want you to give you several verses of Scripture this morning. I'm going to start a series of messages, and I want to speak about the most neglected person in our church. Now, I'm sure that all of you feel that I'm going to name you. But there is a person that is the most neglected person in our church. And it's a series of messages on the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine." Be not drunk with wine. Now I want to give us just a foundation for our message this morning, the need for these messages. The Bible tells us to be not drunk with wine, and then it draws a parallel. But it says, "Wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." But be ye filled with the Spirit. That is not a suggestion. That is a command. The Lord does not command us to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but He does command us to be infilled by the Holy Spirit. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit when you're saved. He comes to make His abode and dwell in your tabernacle of clay. He is dwelling in you if you are born again. He that hath not the Spirit is none of His. There's so much confusion today, and mostly because of the charismatic movement, because the power of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is today in which we are living. He ministers to and through born again Bible believers. Matter of fact, if you do anything for the Lord, it must be done through the energy of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, turn to Acts chapter 19. I'll get to my message in just a moment. If I will be preaching for several weeks, and I want you to have these messages, because God certainly has burned them into my heart. The need for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 19, in verses 1, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost?" Now, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost, He's a spirit. "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Watch this. Watch what it says. "Since ye believed." Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed? Well, you say, I received the Holy Spirit when I believed. You mean He came to make His abode and dwell in you when you believe? Yes. Well, what's Paul talking about? He's talking about the infilling for service, that divine enablement that you and I must have if we're going to carry out the work that God called us to do. The church runs on the energy of the Holy Spirit. The Christian runs on the energy of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to do God's work, you and I must have the energy of the Holy Spirit. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 1, and let's look in this verse. Acts chapter 1, and in verse 8. "Now they were told, they were commanded to go and wait at Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Spirit." This is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but also he's talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Nowhere are we told to tarry for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We all are told to tarry for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's two different ministries here. One is indwelling when you're saved. The other is infilling for service. One's for salvation and the other's for service. Now, Satan will do everything he possibly can to keep you, me and you, from being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the new birth. That's that salvation. He comes to dwell in your body. Our Sunday school teacher this morning made a good application, and I was so glad because I said, Lord, you're dealing with him the same way you're dealing with me. He had several tracts laying out on different different kinds of tracts laying out on the Sunday school table. Some were geared in different for different people. They were all geared differently. And he went on and explained how that each tract would be for, one for a child, one for an intellect, one for an educated person, one for not so much knowledge, one that, and just that he was representing the different aspects of personalities of people. Then he went on and talked about the synoptics of the gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, how they view the same person, but from a different aspect. And they present the Christ in a different way, see him in a different way. And then he made this statement about the Holy Spirit. Or I made the statement, we made the analogy. Had you ever felt prompted to give out a gospel tract? Have you ever felt the urge to say a word about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever in your ministry felt the need to tell someone about Christ? You saw a brother, you saw a sister, or you saw someone, and you felt an urge inside you to give them a gospel tract or to give them a word. Question. Who or what? Who is better? Is the source of that urging? Not the flesh. Not Satan. It is God that dwells in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, He shall not speak of Himself, the Holy Spirit, but He shall testify of me. What is the job of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life? Well, the job is to conform you to the image of Christ. You're sanctified basically three ways. Number one is through the Word of God. Number two is through the Spirit of God. And number three is through the providence, sovereign circumstances that the sovereign God brings in your life and how you respond to those. But that prompting that is an ever born again believer, if you don't have that prompting, that urging, that hunger to do the work of God, to be a witness, to know the Word of God, that's why you come to church on Wednesday night. See, if you lay out on Wednesday night, you will lay out on visitation, and you don't give a gospel tract, you feel terrible, don't you? Why? Why? There's someone inside of me that wants to be ministering to your inner being through the teaching of the Word, through the preaching of the Word, through fellowship with the believers. He wants you to grow. His job is to conform you to the image of Christ, and He can't do it if you don't have something to work with. Therefore, He wants you in Bible study. Therefore, He wants you to be faithfully fellowshipping with believers. Therefore, He wants your life to be controlled by Him. This word, be ye being filled, is in the continuous imperative verb. And it means to be continually filled. Do you know why you don't win souls? It's because you're not filled with the Spirit. You are either under the control of the flesh, carnality, or you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. You're either under the influence and the power of the intoxication of the wine, or you're under the influence and the power of the flesh. We wonder why that we do not have a church that is seeing souls saved. I've been at this a long time, folks. I've come to a juncture in my ministry where I must do something. I must give myself uncontrollably, unreservedly, without holding back everything that I have to the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. This is so serious, because if the work that you do, I don't care what, if those men, and I'm going to thank God for those 8 or 10 men, or maybe 11, I don't know how many came over yesterday and worked over here. Now, if those, and you had a good time of fellowship, I know some of you didn't feel like coming, and I appreciate you coming in, jumping in, and getting that done. But if you did that just to be seen as men, or you did it because it was your duty and your responsibility to do it, it'll be wood, ashes, and stone. If you came today just because you're going to sing a special, well, we didn't have a special. If you came today because you're going to play the piano, or you're the one singing the choir, if you came today because you were afraid of the peer pressure, and somebody said, well, where were you Sunday? If your day of meeting with the Lord, and some of us are closer to meeting with Him than others. Now, I am above 65. Now, I know I don't look it. But I want to tell you something, and I feel good. Matter of fact, people say, well, you're still, no, I feel good. I feel good. I do. But I can tell. I can count. And I know that I will be standing before the Lord and give an account for my ministry. And here's the thing that's been dwelling. And I'm giving you this. I'm just trying to. I'll be speaking at our national fellowship meeting sometime next month. We have a board meeting with 45 men that will fly in from all over America in Atlanta, and they want me to share my heart. Where are we headed in fundamentalism? What are the dangers we're facing in fundamentalism? And I will share my heart. But I am sharing my heart with you today. I'm your pastor. I am the gift that God has given to this local church. Ephesians chapter 4 says, I will give an account to this ministry. I will stand before God and give an account for 35, almost 35 years. And I've come to that place to where nothing else matters. Today in 1972, a full-page ad that was in Virginia Pilot. The Bible or Billy, which will you choose? Well, that's what your church started out with. We were Separatists, we were fundamentalists when we started. We are going to finish Separatist fundamentalists. And there is an ad, $2,500. We were just getting started in 72. Here is a picture of your pastor and the church, a fiery church built on fundamentalism. And Brother Charlie Anderson, Carl McIntyre, your pastor down here in the corner. And this was a big patriotic rally that we had. Fundamentalism's alive and well. 2,000 packed in Tidewater. Belongs to Tabernacle. And it was a great, great days. Someone brought me this. I think it's the same person. He talks about
started the school. We started the school, and here's the kindergarten teacher. She was the bus driver. She was the janitor. Mrs. June Love, the kindergarten teacher,
wasn't cleaned up. She cleaned it up herself because she was the janitor. You know, she did everything. She drove the bus. She did everything.
She did what? And here is our dean of education, Dr. Charlie Anderson, is with the Lord.
New evangelicalism of today accepts the fundamental doctrine, but they break with the fundamentalists in that they reject and disobey the biblical doctrine of separation from ecclesia, from liberals, unbelief, and worldliness. I noticed in there was so many. What is missing? Who is missing? Have we been locked to sleep in the cradle of complacency? Are we not yielding to the person whose job it is to mold us and to make us and to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ? No one can do that except the Holy Spirit. No wonder we see no fire. No wonder our services are cold. No wonder our singing is cold and dead and dry. There's nothing that will give excitement to a church. Are you listening? Like the cry of newborn babes. It's exciting to be around a maternity ward. It's exciting to be around where babies are being born. We've heard so much about our babies being born in some of our families. It's exciting. There's life. There's vitality. But I wonder, how long has it been since you, since I, have put my arms around an old sinner and got so burdened that I could not eat, could not sleep, and wet my pillow with tears over lost souls? And what caused a person to do that? What causes a man to do that? Oh, you say, he has a burden. What creates that burden? What creates that desire? What prompts that inner burning and inner reality? It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the infilling. Now, let's take for granted, and I don't ever want to ever do this, but let's take for granted that we've all been indwelled. If you're saved, you have been indwelled with the Holy Spirit. But have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? What a rebuke. If you'll notice, this was at the church at Ephesus. That was in the Revelation chapter 2. You see that dynamic church that was on fire. I mean, they had church activity. They had it running out their ears. Their calendar was loaded. Their schedule was loaded with things to do. But they had a sin that the Lord rebuked them for and said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, what is the first love? The Lord Jesus. He is the first love. And when you're in love with Him, who makes you fall deeper in love with Him? It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that wants to conform and to make you into His image. And He has wed you to Christ. And His job is to indwell you. His job is to mold you. His job is to grow you into His image. And how do I grow the Holy Spirit? As I submit and as I surrender, I yield, I invite Him. Sarah, my deacons, doesn't realize
What a blessing it is to me for him to meet here every Sunday morning and pray with his pastor. And another one of the deacons meets here and prays with me every Sunday morning. I've done that for years. And many times I've bowed alone. No, I'll take that back. Not alone. I had someone with me. Dr. Coghill's another one that meets with me. Coach Cook is another one that meets with me. Every Sunday morning, Brother Wittenberg is coming now, and I'm thrilled about this. Brother Johnny Turner, I'm thrilled. But then we meet, just the deacon and I, Brother Dorout, meet in my study. And one time I said to him, I don't know if it got through, I think it must have gotten through to him. He said, Pastor, can I help you with anything? Can I do anything to help you? I said, yes. You can meet with me and pray with me before I go behind the sacred desk.
Why do I do that? Why do I get alone in the inner sanctum with my God? Why do I get alone with Him before I come before the people? Because I know something. I know if I speak to Him in private, I can speak for Him in public. And I know how important it is to be filled, to be anointed.
And this morning, as my deacon and I knelt, he said, fill my pastor. He didn't know what a thrill that was for me.
Because I never come behind the sacred desk, but what I don't claim, the infilling, the control, take control of my faculties, my mind, my emotions. Lord, take control of me. Help me to be under the influence, under the power, under the control of the Spirit of God, who's the author of this book, whose job is to point men to Jesus Christ, whose job is to magnify Christ,
and not speak of Himself. But I have asked Him to forgive me for not magnifying His ministry and His work in this local church. Now, He does not want to be magnified above Christ. His job, He has a very specific ministry in this local church to every believer. I was thinking of the Watson and the Stoke family as that little 7-year-old boy. And I prayed this week and I've every week, and you have prayed. It's an emotional merry-go-round. It's an emotional up and down. And there's got to be someone. There's got to be someone who is with them, who will help them, who will comfort them, who will encourage them. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I love biographies. Matter of fact, my library is filled with biographies. I read biographies of great men. And I've read and just finished rereading the life of, by the way, if you don't love to read, you'll never be a leader. Readers are leaders. And if you, I'd rather to play with the computer, or you'd rather to do something else. Listen, you better give your time for reading. Take heed to reading. I read this, and I just made me a copy of it and cut it out and brought it today. This is D.L. Moody's. How many of you know who D.L. Moody was? He was a shoe salesman. A shoe salesman in Chicago. Never had a formal education. Who murdered the King's English? Who had a Sunday school class?
and started with preaching boys off the streets of Chicago. But God used D.L. Moody to shape two continents for God. He took the continent of Europe and the continent of America and shook them over hell and brought great revival to both continents. One of the greatest minds, Chapman R.A. Torrey took D.L. Moody's place. These great men, great intellect, and Spurgeon, probably one of the greatest Baptist Puritans that ever lived, had him over many, many times to speak in his great church. What was the secret to that man with no education, who wasn't eloquent? Read his sermons. It wasn't a great intellect. Read his sermons. What was the secret? Let's let D.L. Moody tell you in his own words. Quote, "My heart was not in the work of begging," Moody said. "I could not appeal. I was crying all the time that God would fill me with His Spirit." Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to even mention. Paul had a similar experience of which he never spoke of for 14 years. I can only say that God revealed it. Now he goes on to explain what happened. I can only say that God revealed Himself to me. Question, who is responsible to reveal God to me? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. How do I make myself available that I might get to know God and I will be conformed into His image? As I obey the Word and He leads me and He guides me, I am sloughing off the old grave clothes and I am becoming more conformed in the inner man to His image. By obedience to the Word, by the molding of the Spirit of God, and by the prompting of the Spirit of God. And by the way, the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Don't come up and tell me the Spirit of God is leading you to do something. He'll never lead you contrary to the Word of God. And I think maybe that may be one of the reasons why the folks are a little afraid of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is because they don't know the Word of God. But He's the teacher. So Moody says, I can only say that God revealed Himself to me, and I had such an experience of His love that I had to ask Him to stay His hand. I went to preach again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths. And yet, hundreds and thousands were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all the world, it would be as a small dust of the balance. In the quote, D.L. Moody. He was talking about not a second blessing. And we have people calling the infilling of the Spirit everything except the biblical terminology, the infilling. They call it the baptism. They call it the second blessing. They call it a second work of grace. No, there's no second. There's all kinds of works of grace if you want to look at it the other way. But this is a infilling for service. The most neglected person in our church. The greatest need in our church is to be introduced afresh and anew to the Holy Spirit. Now, I have preached almost 45 minutes, and I'm not to my message. But I want you to understand my heart. You say, Pastor Bill, are you serious about this? I'm as serious as death itself.
I believe the greatest need in our ministry is not to forget the oil or the wine. I will read my text and then I will close. But let me read it to you. I will read this text every morning until God moves me from off the scene. And I pray that He will move us to a new awakening, to a new stirring of the ministry. I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about fanaticism. Some of you are scared to death when I start talking about the Spirit's blessing. You get a little spooky like. And the devil's got you scared to death. You are afraid because the charismatics is running in the ground. Well, I'm not a charismatic, and you know who I stand. Exodus chapter 25, and I will read this passage of scripture. Several months ago, the Lord really spoke to my heart as I was reading, and I think I brought a message on it. I'm pretty sure I did. I know I did. I studied it at least. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Now he's talking about building a dwelling place for God to dwell in. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin, dye red and badger skin and chittim wood. Oil for the light, spices for an ointment of oil, and for the sweet incense, oxine stone, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. He's talking about a dwelling place for God to dwell. Well, you and I know that the dwelling place for God to dwell today is in the heart of a born-again believer. So all of these parts of the tabernacle are a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, and His Word. And every one of them are detailed descriptions. But the thing that really, and I haven't come to where I've come this morning, over a period of weeks, but months, the Lord has brought me to the place to where I realize the need of oil for the light. The need of oil for the light. I got so interested in the word light or the word lamp. And I looked up the word lamp. I looked up the word light. I looked up all the words. I've looked up the word oil. I've studied for hours on how the oil was made. And this oil was made entirely different than the other oil. And the Lord began to show me that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And how important it is for us to not forget oil for the lamp. The lamp is an instrument that bears the light. And you and I cannot bear the true light of the Lord Jesus Christ that dwells within us unless we as lamps are submitted and surrendered to the flowing of fresh oil. Oil is a picture and a type of the Holy Spirit. And our need in our ministry, our need in our life is the need for fresh oil. Don't forget the oil. I'm going to tell you something. If Moses had forgotten the oil, the priest would have been in darkness. He could have not carried out any of his duties in the tabernacle because it was completely dark. There was no natural light. And he had to have the oil for the light, for the lamp. And my friends, you and I need oil. We need oil. We need the anointing. We need the freshness of oil in my life. The beautiful silver, the gold that speaks of His deity, the silver that speaks of His redemption, the shittim wood that speaks of His humanity would not be seen was it not, for the oil in the light?
Not the light,
because the light is Christ, and it's oil that produces the light. It's oil that works through us that produces, let men see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That they might not speak of themselves, he might not speak of himself, but he testified me. We want others to see Christ. That treasure that's hidden in earthen vessels must be manifested through the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we many times have our beautiful candlestick so polished and shined up on Sunday morning that it's all clogged up and the wicks are hard and the oil will not soak through and burn a bright flame so that we can see how to do the work of God. We're in a dark world. And if we don't have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we don't have the ministry of the Holy Spirit daily, I told my wife as we worked through the book of Proverbs, honey, how can people live that don't get into the Word every day? They're not living. They're existing. They're going through a ritual. They're worse than the monk down at the monastery. They're going through a ritual day after day, week after week, and think, I'll pay my dues if I come Sunday morning. And people who say that they're saved and love God, that they're either their pipes are clogged up, or they have no oil whatsoever, because when the oil is inside you, He wants to burn and to give life. Well, I'll give this message and messages on the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And ask the Lord what He'd have us to do. The need is not urgent. It's beyond that. The need is life or death. The need is not if I want to make myself available, but I must. Or you say, well, I paid the tithe. Or I do, I come to, listen, we go through ritual, but never have any growth, any reality of the resurrected Christ in our life. There's no freshness. There's no joy. There's no peace. The fruit of the Spirit is not there. We just go through day after day, week after week, week after week. Well, I say, the most neglected person in our church is the Holy Spirit and His ministry. We're going to find out who He is and what His ministry is. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I have a great burden. I'm just so burdened. I'm so burdened. We had great missions conferences. We've had great evangelistic campaigns with Brother Tom Farrell. We've had great services. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to sing a stanza of an invitation hymn. If you're here and you're not saved, oh, I don't ever want to leave without you having an opportunity. I don't ever want to leave without giving you an opportunity to come to Him. The Holy Spirit convicts. That's His job. God speaking to your heart. How long's it been? 35, 40 year old Christian in the Lord since you won somebody to Christ? How long's it been since you felt that warmth of the blessed Spirit of God ministering in your heart, making Christ real? How long has it been? God speaking to your heart. Will you this morning say, Pastor Bell, God has spoken to my heart. I see the need. I realize the need. God speaks to your heart. I want you to come and bow right here and you tell it to the Lord. as we sing 66, I am His and He is mine. Love with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. All this full, perfect peace, all the transport, all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am His and He is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am His and He is mine. Sing it, Tim. God speaking to your heart. You obey the Lord.
Everlasting love, led by grace.
That's right.
That love to know.
That's right.
Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me it is so.
I am His and He is mine.
All this full and perfect peace, all this transport on me divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am His and He is mine. In a love,
are you His? Thank you. You may be seated. I'm not going to linger. I'm not going to try to coerce. I just want to lay a burden on your heart. And I want you to stick with me. And ask God, God, do a work in my heart.
Contesters to come and I'm receiving an offering.
Brother Dorout, where are you? Brother Dorout, come sit right down here. Brother Ken has all of the names, the addresses of the places, the states, the field of service for all of our missionaries, labor. And I want a family to volunteer to take one of these home with you. It's just a card, got an email on it, got an address on it. Make that your missionary. Now, you may not know these people. I don't think, maybe of you may not know. But that's all right. Don't say, well, if I don't get Brother Easterly, and I'm not going to run one in. Oh, come on. Take somebody. Take somebody and contact them and tell them you're a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And write with them, pray for them, ask them to share their prayer request, and you get a card from Brother Ken Dorr out here. We have this. Now, I want to receive an offering, and here's what I want to do. I want you to put in your faith promise card if you haven't. If you don't have your faith promise card, please put it in. But I'm going to receive an offering for Brother L.C. Easterly. The expense on that, well, I had no idea what it would cost. I told God, go ahead and get it fixed. I had no idea what Brother Eastman's old van would cost us. But he said, it's running better than it ran whenever it's new. Well, this van is 80 years of age. He's been in the mountains 36 years, 79 and a half. He makes nine services a week in old folks' homes and goes up one holler and down another holler. And he's been there faithfully. Folks, he's just a faithful man. And I want us to receive an offering, and let's make it 100%. Write a check, or let's take care of this, so I won't have to take it out of the missions offering. I'd love for you to do that if you want to give to him, and let's do that. He is worthy, and he is God's man. So let's take care of him and see that he's taken care of. And I will write him. We'll go ahead and take care of this. The mechanic said it's the worst he's ever seen. And now, I told Rob maybe it'll last until he dies, if he doesn't live another 80 years. So you can tell. Brother Roy, would you pray and ask God's blessing on Brother Easterly? Brother Ken, let me see the other one. Here is a little card. We'll give you this card, and you write it. It has Bernie and Helen Hong, Australia address, and their fax number, their telephone number, their email number, and so forth. If you want to, please take one and write them a letter. No one realizes. I asked the missionaries, what can we do to help you? You know what they said? Pray. Well, how do you know what to pray for if you don't correspond with them? So pray with for their need. We'll share their need. Then I want you to take, and he said, we need good literature and good music. The tangible things. Those are the only things that we need. They're not asking you for money. If they do, you come see me because they should go through the local church that they're a member of, not around the pastor in the mission program. They won't ask you for money. They may have a need. If they do, well, let us know about it. They have a need, but the local church will help. We'll all come together and supply and meet that need. Amen. All right, let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. Come up, Brother Dora, out loud over here. I want everybody to come by. Stand over here where he can give you a card. And take this card home with you and give it real consideration now about our missionaries. Father, we thank you for almost 100 missionaries we have the privilege to support, 100 different projects. And Lord, we thank you for these new missionaries, these men who start in church. Thank you for Bob McGee. Thank you for Brother L.C. Easterling. Lord, supply the need for this man. Lord, help us as a church to stand by him and hold him up in prayer. And help us to take these names of these people and let them know that we're members of Tabernacle, we're praying for them, and we'd like to converse with them. We'd like to communicate with them. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.